Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We find ourselves here at the very cusp of Lent with a great opportunity to take stock of our lives, to take an inventory of our storehouse. It is a season to take stock of yourself, your family, your world, your faith. And I know you probably just did this a couple of months ago secularly with the coming of the new year, but that was then and this is now, and well, you've probably forgotten about all those resolutions by now anyway. Instead of re-entering, sort of rehashing old ground of diets and budgets and usage of time, let me point you onto one item that you may have overlooked a few months ago from Hebrews. Christ is faithful over God's house, and he is faithful over God's house as a son. And we are his house. If we indeed hold fast to our confidence and the boasting in our hope. Now, as good Christian folk, we don't tend to boast much. Certainly not in our hope. But 2,000 years ago, the world found itself with a great and tremendous gift. And since the giving of that gift, the world has been unable to exclude Christ from their calculations and their accounting. Everyone who has faced the claims that Jesus has made for himself and faced those claims seriously, everyone who has faced the claims that his followers have made about him, have had to come to terms with him who is God in the flesh. An item that we have been gifted with. It is a label. And if the label is right, the price tag is something that is fabulous. In fact, it probably ought to be priced higher than the rest of the stock combined. Life often takes the aspects of a merchant shop, of a Dillard's or a Belk. I read a story in college about a couple of frat boys who thought it would be funny. They played sort of a practical joke, maybe an April Fool's joke. They broke into a hardware store, and they switched all the tags around. The tags switched. That which was precious was sold for pennies, and that which was trash was sold for great sums. See, that is what Satan wants for you. He wants to break into your store and rearrange your tags, to rearrange your values. He wants for you a fool's inventory, a faulty accounting. And by all odds, the greatest error the world has ever made in its calculations is its casual and its careless treatment of Christ. For if Christ's label is true, if Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, then in him we have an item, we have a gift of such worth that all of the business of life is dependent upon him. And in him life is solvent, and outside of him it is worthless and godless. I think we can see this come to fruition in our normal society. If we just open our eyes, modern godless culture bears this out. Divorce rate, suicide rate, bankruptcies, fatherlessness. Have you ever pondered what is implied by this good news? Have you ever pondered what is truly implied by the good news that if Jesus so loved the world, that if God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son unto us? In the first place, it implies that God loved mankind so much that no greater love can be given. If Jesus is taken seriously as the only Son of God, he becomes our guarantee that God does indeed love us. And we all know that, of course, but there's more that's implied here. It discloses something about man as well. It discloses something about the receiver of the gift. Let's suppose you had a friend. Your friend had a birthday, and that friend had another friend, and that friend gave them a large portfolio of Bach organ scores. You would have to conclude one of two things. Either your friend was a skilled organist and had the capacity to use and enjoy such a gift, or maybe your friend knew nothing about music, and the person who had given him the gift have made a complete and utter blunder, just a complete nitwit move. Don't give me sheet music. I won't know what to do with it. Jesus once told his disciples that they should not cast their pearls before swine because hogs enjoy corn. They don't like pearls. They don't have anything to do with them. They are useless. The fact that God has given us his only begotten Son puts eternity squarely before our eyes. Either we are creatures of infinite capacities to receive and to enjoy Christ, or the Almighty God has made a horrific blunder. I know nothing which has shaken mankind more to the core than the gospel. Glad tidings of his Son given unto us as a gift, as a Savior, and it does not shake us with terror, but with the staggering implications of human exceptionalism. Either we can receive and understand this gift, and it is a benefit to our souls and to our bodies and to our culture or into the world, or it's nothing. We are his house. We are his house. We are not the happy coincidences of Darwinism, which, by the way, is an official religion of secular America. It is a religion. It is the theory of the evolution of species. It is not a fact. And those who know their science really, really well knows this fact. They know it. But they can't replace it with anything. You got to teach kids in school that we come from something, so they're just going to let this ride. We're not slaves to Freud's baser instincts. We are not doomed to the void as Nietzsche hopes. God is not dead. What worth must a man have if God were to give us such a gift? We cannot escape the logic of such gift. Follow, if you will, the path of progress of human dignity. Let's just set the spirit aside and just go, let's just talk about philosophies. What philosophies on the planet Earth have garnered mankind more dignity? Where did the universities and the hospitals spring up? Where do we get St. Jude's and Notre Dame and Liberty and Roper St. Francis if not from the Christian church? Where have the arts worldwide, where have the arts flourished? Where have the sciences flourished but in the Christian West? Where have the governments shaken off the shackles of tyranny? Where has oppression been replaced with prosperity? Where was slavery made illegal? Christendom? Go to voicesforfreedom.org. They've got a great chart there that'll show you where the bulk of slavery happens in the world today. It's not Christendom. Slavery is great, well and good. In Africa, it's doing great. In the Middle East, China's white because China's number, little letter, it's color-coded. But we don't get any accurate information from China. Some might argue every citizen of China is a slave. Who stomped out slavery? Christianity. Guess what's on the rise in America? As Christianity wanes, guess what's on the rise? Slavery. America has slaves today, right now, miles away from this location. Where do women vote? Christian West. Where do you see the child brides? Not in Christendom. Human dignity is always in the path that has first been cleared by the missionaries. When a man hears and believes the incredible information about the everlasting God, that you are held in such high regard and such worth as to have been given the only begotten Son of God, there is only one course open unto him. We cannot grovel as a slave any longer, for the kingdom is yours, and the kingdom has been given unto you as an adopted son of the Most High God, and you had better get up on your feet and rule. It has been given to you. We are his house. We are his house. If indeed we hold fast to our confidence and the boasting in our hope. You and I are members of a civilization with centuries and centuries of Christian tradition, and we take our dignity for granted, and we scarcely think about what convictions came to be. We accept our personal and our civil rights and freedoms as if they have always been self-evident. They have not always been self-evident. The fact is, they were never self-evident. Not until God disclosed to them by showing us the worth that we had by giving us Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Not until then did the men of history take seriously the path and the rightness of life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. The rights of labor could have never become real except in the wake of Christianity. Nor will they remain real unless continued connections unto the gospel and the giving of human dignity to every single member of the house. Democracy as a political idea is sheer nonsense to the philosophy of man. Service separated from Christ is useless. Self-interest is all that the ungodly know. An unstoppable Freudian sex drive of Darwin's highly evolved beasts. Are you a man or are you an animal? Whenever you set forth the task of making an inventory of humans' assets, you will do yourself great harm if you do not place at the top of the list your salvation, the matter of your Christian faith. If you leave it out, if you lump it in with the miscellany of life, if you put your faith on par equal with your hobbies, with the reading of murder mysteries, if you put your faith on par with your running club and with baseball camp, you will do yourself great harm. And not just you, but everybody around you. The same goes for Western civilization. At its best, it has flowered in with and under the splendid implications of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is a priceless gift. It enlivens, it sanctifies every aspect of our democracy. Ever since Bethlehem, the old world has stirred uneasy at having been given the gift of Christ and the beckoning of the kingdom to deal with it. It's sad that we've gotten attached to our hovels. We've settled down to be bellhops to our passions and public opinions. And we are not likely to be disturbed by Christ's announcements that we were indeed created for rulership. And only the moral can be free. Only the moral can truly be free because they're the only ones with the capacity to control themselves. The godless cannot. They can't. They have to be ruled because they cannot tell their left hand from their right hand. They cannot tell right from wrong. It escapes them. The only power they know is whether it's legal. Can I get away with it or can I not? Two options are open to us. We may either receive the gift and use it unto our enjoyment, or we may exchange it for something else, like Esau and his brood who exchanged the rights of their high station for momentary matters. It cannot be returned. The kingdom of God is here, it is here to stay, and it's not going anywhere. We cannot exchange it for common and menial ranks of mere animal life. Human exceptionalism is found in the image of God and at the present time is being restored in you by the cross and the crown of Jesus Christ. You are now the nobility. You are now the freed men of the house of God. You are men and women of high rank and high nobility who lead our society to exchange that divine potential in your Christ-redeemed self for that which is trivial and base is more than simply folly. It is high treason. in the heavenly places. What I mean by that is the peasants can rebel against the king all they want and no one cares. A peasant can say he doesn't like the king and doesn't care for the king. He can pay his taxes, not pay his taxes. He can run off as much as he wants. But when the son of the king rebels, it shakes the kingdom. And you and I are no longer peasants in this current universe. By the redemption and the adoption of Jesus Christ and his blood, we are heirs of the kingdom of God. We are sons. We are his house. If man exchanges Jesus Christ for gods of his own makings, if he chooses machines over rulership, with public opinion over his God-breathed will, if he relies upon his own capacities over the power of God, if we choose money instead of morals, greed instead of goodness, then we will bring down upon ourselves disaster and shame for all of eternity. God will give us the power to receive this priceless, priceless gift of Christ. The gift of forgiveness, the gift of holiness, sanctification before our brothers and sisters. And he will enable us to enjoy the kingdom forever and ever. To this end that we were created, and to this end to which we were purposed, for God's grace of gift has been given unto us, were we to gain the entire world. If we were to gain the entire world, but miss this gift of God, we would be paupers yet still. But we possess God. And we are possessed by God. And the kingdom is ours forever. We are his house. Indeed, if we hold fast to our confidence and the boasting in our hope. May God be with you. Amen.